Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today...
I can't get 5 seconds.
No.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm doing introductions.
You're not
How
here.
Come she always gets to do the 3 seconds? That's what I want to know.
She does it very well.
She always,
she does one thing. She does it very well.
And you're not here yet. You haven't been introduced. So.
And neither have you.
Yeah, neither have you, Missy. So you might just quiet it down just a tiny bit.
Okay, let's start over. Hi, I'm Tim, and this is History Dweebs. And our podcast today is on serial killers Leonard Lake and Charles Ng. They were a couple of serial killers back in the 80s who kidnapped, raped, and murdered a bunch of folks. We're going to talk about their dastardly deeds. But before we do, I would like to introduce our panel. First of all, I'd like to introduce the very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, the pill-popping, penis-loving, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, the legendary Brandy.
My God, yes. Hi.
How do you like that introduction's getting longer and longer and longer.
I like it.
I know, but she's popular.
So. And very awesome.
Yes. So how are you, Brandy?
I am great. How are you?
I am wonderful. Before we go any further, let me say I'd like to thank Casey for joining us last time on our podcast. Of course, Casey has a lot of fans out there, so it was good to have him on the show. Yeah, but he always does a great job.
So it goes to his head.
Thank you, Casey, for dropping in. We hope to have you back soon.
Yeah, goes to his head.
Let me also introduce a man that really needs no introduction. The very honorable.
So don't introduce him.
The debonair, the suave.
The white.
The Caucasian. Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
Oh, Timmy, it's one of those days. I'm torn. My feelings are
Every time I ask him that question, I just cringe.
I know. I don't know why you do that. And just for our listeners, we get a lot of mail. We get a lot of emails and things on Facebook. And they're always disappointed that the colonel is not a black gentleman.
An elderly black man.
And we are as well.
We are every day. Every day we're disappointed by that. Yes.
Well, I'm not disappointed. I'm just, you know, today's one of those Hallmark days, Timmy.
Why
it's
is
one
that,
of those
Colonel?
Like a movie?
Days.
Like a Hallmark movie?
And I should start it off with a happy birthday to one of our listeners.
Yes.
Trish Hiller.
Don't you dare sing. Just Trish say Hillard. Happy birthday. That's enough.
Happy birthday to you, baby.
Nope.
Then happy
that's
birthday,
no,
baby.
No, that's enough.
Come on,
enough.
Baby.
No,
happy
no.
birthday.
There's movements going with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Trish.
Happy
what's your
birthday,
problem?
Trish.
You know, you cannot spell Trisha without C-I-A, Colonel.
Ooh, I never even thought about that.
Wow. That's an amazing observation.
But so we hope you have a wonderful day. We hope we appreciate your support, Trish. And
yeah, this is going to be posted a little late. So
let's give a shout out to everybody at the Illinois Women's Correctional Facility with Trish.
She is not in prison.
What?
So
I assume she was working there.
Trish is incarcerated right now.
Why would you say that? No,
she's
not.
Is she wearing a jumpsuit today?
Huh?
Is she wearing an orange jumpsuit?
She's wearing an orange jumpsuit.
Okay.
She's orange is
not,
a new black to me.
She is not. Trish is not
incarcerated. She gets got an ankle bracelet.
Okay, so that's great. Happy birthday, Trisha.
See, why do you let him talk?
I'm not.
He says words.
That's the joyous part. Now, I need a little bit of solemnness from you
die?
Two, if I could.
Somebody else
today,
died.
Today, Timmy, is the 19th anniversary of my dear mama's departure.
Well, she's dead. Why are you celebrating anniversaries?
God rest her soul.
Why is that an anniversary? Let's celebrate her birthday. She's dead.
Yeah, I don't think you're supposed to celebrate the day
I'm not
die.
Celebrating. Clearly, it's just a reminder that...
She's dead.
You know what? And this is a weird thing to me because Lady Di, every year...
Also dead.
My mother died the day after Lady Di did.
Mm-hmm. She didn't get depressed that Lady Diana did.
No, she didn't. She should have. Mother Teresa died right after that, too. But
so it's just a whole block of
every time
awfulness for you.
I go, you know, I hear about Lady Diana dying, obviously, because me and my mama, we was watching the coverage of Lady Diana on the news, and my mama went into a poor state, and we had to rush her to the hospital, and she died the following day.
Is that a true story?
That is a true story. It was a peculiar thing. She'd had cancer. She'd been sick, very, very sick for a long
that
time.
Cancer.
We knew the end.
Different
was
than
near.
Diabetes.
She had the consumption, and we knew the end was near.
Consumption.
But this particular day, my mom says to me, you know, it sounds really good, a grilled cheese sandwich, which was crazy.
Always
because,
sounds good.
Well, for somebody who's about to die.
I am a
cancer.
Part of the anti-cheese coalition.
You are.
I know. You're in the ACC, but
yes,
but this, she was not.
All those people in the ACC, they're so picky.
So I whipped up together a grilled cheese sandwich for mama.
Was that a challenge for you?
No, I'm
you got a whole group that this won't have nothing to do with the cheddars. You got and you got another
group. Factions.
And the Parmesan. All those Parmesan people are the worst.
Oh, the pricks. The pricks. The
really
Parmesan
are.
Pricks.
You have no idea. You're making fun of me, but you have no idea. I'm going to quit going to the meetings.
What about the Gouda people?
I don't even
they're
talk.
They're all smoky.
What? And the blue cheese, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they're all crumbly and dry.
We don't really count the blue cheese. They're like a subgroup.
They're like mold.
They don't really count a part of the anti-cheese coalition. Although they do sometimes, some of them are sponsors, but they're not a part of the anti-cheese coalition. But continue, Colonel, because we have a long podcast.
All right. Well, I'll try to get to
that seems racist.
Quickly to the end of this. But my mom, it was a peculiar, very peculiar thing because my mama said to me she had not been eating. She was surviving.
Did your mama say knock you out?
Taking sips of protein, or those.
A boost.
Boost, whatever.
Yeah.
And, by this time she dropped down to probably 60 pounds or something. She was a tiny woman.
That's where I hope to be.
And, so she asked me to make a grilled cheese sandwich, which was surprising. And we was watching the coverage of Lady Di's untimely demise. My mom finished half the grilled cheese sandwich, and her eyes rolled back in her head, and she did not regain consciousness, and she died the next day.
That is a horrible story.
Well, yes, you know what? I like
really
the. Here's what I like to think.
Fuck.
Here's what I like to think, though.
But why are you sharing?
Because you know what. The last thing she had was a good grilled cheese sandwich.
Well,
okay. And that is why I'm a part of the Anti-Cheese Coalition, ACC. Oh,
I don't... Okay. That was an awful story.
It was.
And why would
because
you tell it?
I told it because...
We're going to talk about
it's
Leonard Lake
though.
And Charles Ng, which will be uplifting after that.
It will be uplifting, but this is important for all your listeners to know. If you're eating a grilled cheese sandwich with your mama, appreciate it.
Okay, Colonel, thank
it.
You. I'd like to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Chip and Alicia.
You're a downer.
Cindy Lou, Jahara, and Bridget. Those folks have been very generous, and there are supporters on Patreon. If you would like to be a supporter, just go to patreon.com/historydweebs, and you can become a supporter. We don't care the amount, even if it's a wee bit.
Oh, I'm running to. I'm going to Patreon right now, Timmy.
Thank you, Colonel. Okay, but Chip actually had
should
requested.
Ask Renee first.
Chip actually requested this topic, and I think a couple other people did as well. So we're happy to bring it to you. It's a weird story, and it's a difficult story kind of to tell because normally we talk about serial killers, we talk about their background, and then we go through this progression of, you know, this, how sequential they kill these people, right? But this time, this thing, and then of course the police catch on that there's a serial killer, there's an investigation, there's an apprehension.
Well, sometimes they catch on.
Yeah, sometimes. There's an apprehension, and then we talk about what happens next. In this case, these guys were killing people and no one really noticed. It was kind of a fluke that the police got involved with them and finally brought them to justice. So this will be a little different than before, but I'm going to talk a little bit about the background. So Leonard Lake and Charles Ng, spelled N-G, and Colonel, I know we talked about this before. We're kind of upset at this guy because he has no vowel in his last name.
You need to have a vowel. That's just cheating.
Yeah.
It's just cheating.
Talk to Pat Sajak.
He should buy a vowel.
He really should.
Should buy a vowel, too. Well, I think he had vowels.
I think he had plenty. Yeah.
But anyway, Leonard Lake and Charles Ng, spelled N-G, were a pair of serial killers responsible for at least 7 murders, and possibly as many as 25, back in the 1980s. And why they specialized, I don't know if you could specialize in this, but they specialized in sexually abusing and killing women. That was their major and minor, I guess. And
I don't know why the police picked them up.
We specialize in the rape and minor in the torture.
Yeah.
We're major in the rape.
Can you put that on a resume?
You can, but...
It's not something you want to put on a resume.
Yeah, you might not get many responses. They also murdered 2 families and at least 5 men. So even though they sexually abused and killed women, they didn't discriminate. They killed men, they killed babies, they killed kids. But the women got the worst of it because they were usually held in captive in an underground bunker that they had on this in this compound. They had a cabin out in the woods. Leonard Lake did, and they had this underground bunker where he would store arms and video equipment and women. And they would rape and torture the women on film, on camera. They would make their own homemade porn movies and snuff movies. So, but let's
who hasn't made their own porn movies?
Right. Well, but they also made. I never made
snuff films are bad.
Yeah,
are bad for.
I never made a snuff film, but I got the whole Colonel collection at home.
You know what though? But they've always said. Collection. They've said for the longest time that snuff films are like urban
Swedish,
legend.
Is that like Swedish erotica?
It is. Remember Aunt Peg? And
but completely different.
It's the Colonel collection.
Well, I think, I think what you're talking about is that there is a, I've heard that too, that snuff films were urban legend. But of course, if you make them yourself, if you're a serial killer.
Then clearly they're not urban legend.
Well, yeah, but I think that part, they're talking about the distribution of snuff films.
What was the guy's name?
Harvey Korman.
No, I want to say Harvey like Glatt or Platt or
Keitel.
He was a guy that maybe we may have done him. I don't know. He was a photographer, and he would take models, get women to model for like True Detective magazine for those kind of shoots and tie them up. And he said, "Now act scared, you know, and whatever." Mm. And once he got them tied up, he told him he was going to kill him.
Hmm.
And then they obviously looked very scared, and he got
off. Yeah, he got authentic.
We'll have to look that guy up and
get an authentic looking picture that way. So let me give you a little background on these two nut jobs. Leonard Lake was born on October 29, 1945, in San Francisco, California, one of my favorite cities in the world, and home of Stephanie Quick out there in San Francisco.
And the Power Exchange.
And, I don't know if it's... Yeah, the Power Exchange is in California, San Francisco. A sex club that some of you may be familiar with. When he was...
that some, we won't mention any names, frequent.
Yeah.
When he was 6 years old... When he was 6 years old...
Pervy, dirty pervs.
You know, before I had aspirations of, like, moving home and maybe running for mayor in my small town, but...
Oh, you give those up.
With this podcast, I have no chance then.
No, you don't.
You ain't going nowhere.
And you had no aspirations. Let's not kid ourselves.
I have. It was minor aspirations. I mean, I thought about it, but it did sound like a lot of work. When Leonard was 6 years old, he and his siblings were sent to live with their grandparents after the parents separated. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. He was reportedly to be a bright child, but he had an obsession with pornography.
Well, who doesn't?
He took nude photos of his sisters.
Yeah.
Apparently with the encouragement of his grandmother.
Oh, so that's okay for her. It was all right.
Why didn't you take some nudies, granny?
Maybe he did. We just don't know.
Yeah.
And maybe she encouraged that, too.
Mm-hmm. It was alleged. Now, after he took his pictures of his sister, it was alleged that Lake extorted sexual favors from them to keep those pictures hidden.
This is how it starts.
Why didn't they just beat the shit out of him?
You take a picture of
the other sister does.
Like, you get just a little bit risque picture. This is women. Listen to this. Don't fall into this trap. They say, hey, send me a picture of you with just, you know, in a sexy pose or whatever. And they say, okay. Then once they get the sexy pose, they say, now send me a picture of you with no shirt on, or I'm going to send around a picture of the sexy pose. And the blackmail.
It sounds like you've
now
done
you
this
got
before.
A set of boobs.
Yeah, I don't understand what he's
and then you say, now send me a picture of your whole self naked. Well, I'm going to send everybody a picture of your boobs. That sounds like what they was doing right
there.
Yeah,
well, he was extorting his sisters for sexual favors. So he gradually developed an overwhelming obsession with pornography. His weird sexual escapades included fantasizing and making neighborhood girls his love slaves.
That's weird.
I don't know. I don't know if that's that weird, but
yeah. I mean, who hasn't fantasized about the hot girl in the neighborhood being your love slave?
In 1965, at the age of 19, Leonard Lake joined the Marine Corps. Thank you for your service. He served two terms of duty.
Tours of duty.
Yeah, in Vietnam as a radar operator.
Radar.
While in the service, he was diagnosed with schizoid personality disorder.
I think that's the least of his diagnoses.
See, man, you need to do that diagnosis up front, because those fuckers get vet benefits the rest of their life.
Yeah.
You need to do some of that screening up front. He was eventually given a medical discharge in 1971 and underwent psychotherapy.
Well, it worked out really well. I mean, they did a great
job. Looks like they got him fixed up.
Yeah, they did a great job there.
You're ready to go.
Well, he's probably trying to get it from the VA, and they
he's probably still waiting
they
for
wouldn't
his appointment.
Schedule.
He's
yeah.
still in line. Actually, and according to the VA, they treated him for 5 years.
Yeah, of course. So back in civilian life, he moved to San Jose, California, which, of course, is just...
Do you know the way?
Yes. It's just very close to San Francisco.
I don't.
And he briefly attended San Jose State University, which is also in San Jose.
No. Yeah. San Jose State is?
Yes. I know. It's hard to believe.
I thought that was in Colorado.
Go Wildcats.
However, he dropped out.
Go Bison.
Yeah. Dropped out after one semester. So, really, it wasn't really worthy of a mention here.
He's a quitter.
Lake joined a group of hippies. In the 1970s and joined one of their communes out in California. It is there that he met a wife. He got married, but the marriage quickly dissolved when his wife found out that he was making and starring in amateur pornography movies.
I think that would put
a
damper on the marriage.
Yeah, and those movies involved bondage and sadomasochism.
What?
Can't say that word.
Sadowhat?
Yeah, let's hear you say it, Charles.
Sadomasochism.
Thank you.
Sadomasochism.
When his wife discovered that he was filming bondage scenes that included handcuffs, leather straps, and shackles... with women other than herself.
Otherwise known as Saturday.
I was going to say, don't we call that Saturday scene?
Well, no. It was women other than herself. She divorced him. So if he had been putting her in shackles, maybe it would have been okay.
Well, what if he would have been doing men? Would that have been okay?
In 1979...
No, can't compete with that.
Lake was arrested for playing Grand Theft Auto. No, he was arrested for Grand Theft Auto. I'm sorry.
Oh.
It's different.
I did not know there was a difference.
Well, Lake served 1 year in prison... and received 1 year's probation for the Grand Theft Auto charge. And he also was charged with theft. He was stealing some weatherizing material from a construction site. The dirty bastard.
To do what? What are you going
to
do with that shit?
He was making a dungeon.
I'm not getting all up in his business.
Well, you might be.
In 1981, when I was 20 years old.
First grade.
So, 19.
19 hey,
17. You were 17 years old.
Were you?
1981.
I was 17 years old.
First grade. You guys are so old.
He got married again. Leonard Lake was married again to Clara Lynn Blasey. Blaze. I think it's Blaze. Clara Lynn Blaze, a woman he met while working at the Renaissance Fair in 1977.
Oh, the Renaissance Fair. That is a great place to meet women.
Yes. You meet a lot of imps there.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
A fair amount of imps.
A fair amount of, yeah.
Around this time...
What is an imp?
It's just a little weirdo, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it a dwarf? Is it a midget?
I don't know. Write that down, Brandon.
Imps are magical creatures.
Oh, okay. Will you?
I won't write it down.
Well, then Google it. See what it is. Around this time, Lake earned a reputation among his neighbors as being a survivalist. So he kind of goes from a hippie to the other extreme as being a survivalist.
A prepper. He was a prepper.
Yeah, he was a prepper. Yeah.
He was Gloria Gaynor.
Mm-hmm. He was a doomsday prepper.
He will survive.
He will survive.
As long as he knows
how to
love, he knows
his. At first, he was afraid.
He was petrified.
He was.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All right, stop. So, he earned a reputation among his neighbors as being a survivalist and a weirdo sex freak who freely talked about bondage with anyone who would listen to
Chuck
him.
Chuck has that same thing.
Is that
anyone who would listen, Chuck will talk about bondage all day long.
Is that considered peculiar?
Yeah, I think so. So he started reading Soldier of Fortune magazine and War Gamer magazine, and he placed personal ads in those magazines.
Nice.
Let's see. So anyway, he's married now to Clara Lynn Blaze. He allegedly taught kids how to make explosives.
Mm-hmm.
He was that crazy uncle.
Yeah, he told the kids that in case the shit went down, they needed to be prepared. Clara Lynn helped him teach the kids that.
Timmy, I got somebody raising their hand.
Yes.
DeFlora should recognize me.
Yes, Brandy.
An imp is a mythological being similar to a fairy or goblin, frequently described in folklore and superstition.
Yeah, a little weirdo, like I said. So,
it's made up.
Clara Lynn Blaze, his wife, soon left Lake after she got tired of her husband's increasingly erratic behavior. Probably his erotic behavior as well.
Erotic behavior.
And his insistence that she star in pornographic films.
I don't think that's mean. Why is he insisting on that?
I can see her, I can see him, making a little camera lens with his hands.
Oh, yeah. You'd be great.
You know what? Why is it that women are so hesitant to... I mean, she's married to the man for the love of God.
Yeah, well,
he wants to document their
love.
He wants to document their love. He wants to put it on film.
Yeah, well, she didn't like that, so she left. In 1981... Lake met Charles Ng, who answered one of Lake's ads in the War Gamer magazine. I'm not sure kind of what ad. I guess he was just ads for
pals.
People had similar interest in him because Ng was a little,
freak show.
Yeah. The two men hit it off at once in spite of Lake's racism because Ng, as you know, Ng was Chinese, which seemed to encompass... Lake's racism only seemed to encompass blacks and Hispanics. So
he was a selective racist.
Yeah, he was open. He was very open minded when it came to Asian Americans, but he was not into blacks and Hispanics. Apparently,
is it ironic at all, Timmy,
mm-hmm.
that this man spent 2 years in Vietnam,
mm-hmm.
and Vietnam. When he comes home,
it's Vietnam.
He becomes best friends with an Asian man named Charlie.
It is.
Do you see the irony in that?
I do, Colonel. Thank you for pointing that out.
He'd been fighting Charlie all that time. Now he's best friends with Charlie.
Actually, he was a radar operator. He never saw any action when he was in Vietnam. But
Well, he was looking for Charlie. And he found Charlie when he got home.
Yes, and they became friends.
They've been searching the wrong place the whole time.
So, despite his racism for blacks and Hispanics, he liked Charles Ng. They began collecting automatic weapons from illegal sources.
They have shared interests, so sure.
And the team of federal agents eventually raided the ranch that they were living on in 1982, arresting Lake and Ng on firearms violations. They released Lake on a $6,000 bond.
That's pretty cheap.
And Lake promptly went into hiding, so he's on the lam. He used a lot of different aliases, and he drifted around Northern California. He skipped bail and settled in a remote ranch in Wileysville, California. It was, remember his ex-wife, Clara Lynn Blaze? His ex-wife's parents owned a little cabin in Wileysville. And that was going to be their future retirement home. But Lake had other plans. He transformed it into a house of whores.
Of whores?
Yeah.
Whores.
Yeah, he said whores.
Police say that Lake erected a fortified bunker adjacent to the cabin where he hoarded illegal weapons and stolen video equipment and eventually some of his captives. Foolishly, he recorded his dastardly deeds.
No, what I was never asking. Do that.
In a ledger.
It's just evidence.
That could later be used against him in the court of law. His diary was crammed with sexual fantasies involving sexual slaves he planned to keep in his
bunker. Did he start it with Dear Diary?
Maybe he did. I don't know. So it was crammed with sexual fantasies involving sex slaves he planned to keep in his bunker after a nuclear holocaust. Don't you think these survivalists, don't you think they actually are hoping something happens?
Absolutely, because then they can be right. And I don't feel like he doesn't need to stockpile women. I feel like that's what he's doing.
Well, I think you need more than one.
You definitely need more than one.
You got to keep them separated so they don't get the cycles together.
I keep them in different countries.
There you go.
Well, you at least, yeah, different countries, at least different rooms.
And you have to have, you know, homeland security between you and them.
Yeah, you do.
Speaking of which, after next, I'm going down to Columbia to see the lovely Clara.
Lovely Clara.
I'm looking forward to that.
Then he won't. He probably won't be back.
In his diaries,
Dear Diary,
Leonard Lake wrote, "God meant women for cooking, cleaning, house." Oh, I'm sorry. "God meant women for cooking, cleaning, house, and sex. And when they're not in use, they should be locked up."
He's so wise.
Your thoughts on that, Colonel? Well, I want to see that number dwindle on Team Colonel. Is he about to speak?
No, I think he's wrong there, Timmy. I think he's not taking an enlightened view of women.
Okay.
Women don't need to be locked up because what do you say they should be doing?
They should be either cooking, cleaning house, or having sex. And when they're not, they should be in use. They should be locked up.
Yeah, see, now they could be watching Netflix. They don't have to be locked up.
You're okay with that. As long as they cook, clean.
As long as they're cooking and cleaning and providing with the marital needs.
Jesus
Christ. As long as they're fulfilling their marital obligations.
You would never lock Renee up.
If he did that, Chuck would be dead in like a week from some jackass accident that Renee would have told him, "Don't do that."
Yeah.
I got the Mrs. Colonel under control.
You just have to give her the look, right? You've got her conditioned, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. I've trained her.
You know they say elephants, how they train elephants? When they're babies, They put a chain around their foot, and they put them against a big concrete pole or building or something, and they'll struggle against that.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, they can just put a little stake in the ground because the elephant will give up and think that they're stuck. Is that what you're saying? That
pretty much, Mrs. Colonel. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the Mrs. Colonel is like a
delicate flower.
It's like she's living at the Ritz every day.
Yeah.
She would never try to escape.
Oh, I see. Okay, so let me give you a little bit of background, more background on Charles Ng, and then Brandy will tell you more about...
I will tell her everybody.
She would tell her about the murders.
Murder.
I always give you murder.
I know.
You're so good at it.
I appreciate that.
Charles Ng, spelled N-G,
No consonants. No vowels.
No vowels. No vowels. All consonants. Now, sometimes, you know, you've got those people over there in Norway. They have a lot of consonants, too, Colonel.
They got those weird letters with the dots over them.
And then the O with the cross in it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about.
I don't know how to say that.
You know, Kastner really needs to, explain that to us. So, anyway, Charles Ng was born on December 24th, 1960, Christmas Eve.
Wow. His mama was not pregnant during Christmas.
No, but during Thanksgiving, although I'm sure they didn't celebrate that because he was born in Hong Kong.
But he got Americanized.
Yeah, but she was pregnant during Chinese New Year.
Yeah, she was.
So anyway, he was born on December 24th, 1960.
He was born in Year of the Rat, by the way.
Yeah.
I looked that up.
Did you? You might be right. I was born about 5 months after that. A little over 5 months.
I was born in the Year of the Cobra, Timmy.
Okay.
Year of the Cobra.
Mm-hmm. As a child, Ng was harshly disciplined and abused by his father.
Aww.
As a teenager, Ng was described as a troubled loner and was expelled from several schools.
Aren't they always described as troubled loners?
Yeah. After his arrest for shoplifting at age 15, he was arrested at his father's insistence. And then he was sent to boarding school in North Yorkshire, England, where with Lady Beverly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not long after arriving, he was expelled for stealing from other students and returned to Hong Kong. At age 18, Ng obtained a student visa to study in the United States, where he briefly attended the College of Notre Dame in Belmont, California, before dropping out. It was around this time that he met Leonard Blake. They both shared, as I mentioned before, an obsession with firearms. After being charged in a relation to a hit-and-run accident, he ran over somebody.
I figured that.
Ng joined the...
hold on. Back up for just a minute.
Okay.
Ng...
Oh, are you going with that?
Do not, no.
Ng ran somebody over in his car.
He lied about his birthplace, and so he was going on the lam. He joined the Marines. Well, thank you for your service.
I hope they didn't make him a tank commander.
He was a self-described martial artist.
There you go. He's a ninja.
And a self-styled ninja warrior.
Yes!
Who declared that he was born to fight.
Well, and if you don't declare it, who will?
Ng talked incessantly of violence with his fellow Marines. So he was a leatherneck. But in the military, he was once again caught stealing, this time $11,000 worth of military weapons.
Yeah, you can't just sweep that under the rug.
They frowned upon that. To avoid court-martial, Ng fled Hawaii, eventually he hightails it out of the military, leaves Hawaii, goes AWOL, eventually makes his way back to Northern California, where he meets up again with his good friend, Leonard Lake. They were, of course, as I've mentioned before, they got together, and Lake and he were arrested in 1982 on a raid on Lake's home by the ATF. He was sentenced to 14 years in prison, but he served less than two of that. His sentence was commuted.
Damn, he must have been really behaving in there.
And he was dishonorably discharged. Upon his release...
It's like he got charged with rape.
Yeah.
Upon his release, Ng moved back. He met up again with his good friend, Leonard Lake, who was now still on the run because he skipped bail. And was staying at his ex-in-law's cabin retreat. It is there that Ng and Lake began a campaign of abduction, rape, and murder based from Lake's remote cabin. Reunited, the pair of survivalists built a torture chamber and self-film parlor in a remote Northern California ranch to fuel their perverse lust. And
wow.
Ng was sort of the follower, I think. Lake was kind of the domineering one, and Ng was kind of the, you know, he was a little, you know, he kind of followed.
He was the puppy?
Yeah, he followed Lake. Lake and Ng developed a survivalist doomsday plan called Operation Miranda.
Yes.
Which I think was based on the book The Collector. It was a book that we've talked about before of people, of a guy collecting humans. And other serial killers have cited that book. And, but anyway, this Operation Miranda would be enacted immediately after World War III. The radioactive dust from the nuclear war had settled. And Brandy's going to tell us more.
It wasn't long after Lake and Ng were reunited, they started to kill. In fact, it seems that Lake got a head start on his more dependent friend. Nobody knows really how many people they killed. It's believed that Lake's first victim was his brother, Donald.
Well, you need to start with
who
your
was
brother.
A dick his entire life.
We don't know that.
He needed to go.
Poor Donald.
Lake's mother reported Donald missing after he failed to return from a visit with Leonard and San Bruno in July of 1983.
He was the older brother.
I appear so.
Yeah, and this is when Ng was incarcerated.
Donald, she told authorities, went to Humboldt County to find work as a carpenter, and she never heard from him again.
Just like Jesus.
Yes.
Although Jesus came back.
Well, and everybody's heard of Jesus, so.
True. But I mean, he was a carpenter like Jesus.
He was, yeah.
Jesus did not, I do not believe, have a rape chamber.
No. Jesus was a good man.
Go ahead.
He had a cave that he rose up out of.
Mm-hmm.
A tomb.
She remembers that Leonard once told her the world is better off without Don. So see, Don was a dick. He had to go.
Well, that's according to a serial killer, so I'm not sure Lake, how much validity there was.
Well, Lake and Ng targeted women, but they did not hesitate to abduct entire families.
Well.
Because if you hesitate, you're fucked.
You're lost.
He who hesitates is lost.
Yes.
After killing the men and children to get them out of the way, they would hold the women captive in a custom-built room in a bunker at Lake's ranch, tie them up, torture them, rape them, videotaping each other while doing so. Sometimes they also lured men to the compound with promises of work and robbed them, after which Lake stole their identities.
Yeah, they were doing all kind of stuff. They were answering ads. They were like, one family, one guy was just selling his video equipment, and they go and, you know, he places an ad, and they go to his house, and then just kill him, take it.
After killing the victims by either strangling or shooting them, they would often bury them in shallow graves on the property, though there's evidence that some were also dismembered and burned, their remains scattered. Many of the victims may never have been discovered, was it not for a routine police matter. On June 2nd, 1985, an Asian man, later identified as Chuck Ng.
Chuck Ng.
Yes.
Okay. Chuck Ng?
Chuck Ng. Charles Ng.
We got Charles Ng and Chuck Ng.
No, same guy.
Same guy.
Like you, your name is Charles and Chuck.
Chung
like,
King.
Go ahead, Brandy.
I don't understand what you just were doing. Just. So anyway, he was shopping in South San Francisco. Was shoplifting in South San Francisco.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Well,
actually, he was stealing a vice, and I don't think I have it in there. But he was in a hardware store, and he stole a vice, and he put it in the trunk of their car. And the store attendant saw him, went after him. Ng hit, you know, Ng took off running. They called the police, but. Leonard was still in the car.
Right.
He didn't, you know, he just kind of hightailed it out of there.
So, what?
And he had to fuck it all up by stealing the vice.
Right.
Yeah.
So they fled, and by the time police arrived, but he had fled by the
they
time police
the vice
arrived.
Cops.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Clearly,
yeah.
That's their whole department.
Yeah, the vice detectives.
But, you know, as Tim has pointed out before I could, since it's in my part, Leonard, who was with him, was arrested. Because his car, he was sitting in the car. The car was searched, and they found a .22 revolver illegally equipped with a silencer. He told him that he was Robin Stapley and had a driver's license in that name. Police were suspicious. Well,
It raised some eyebrows.
Because,
yes,
according to the driver's license, Robin Stapley was 26, while the man they had in custody was clearly in his late 30s.
He was like middle-aged.
Well, you know. Yeah. I don't think you age well when you're a serial killer. I think it takes a toll.
Serial killers don't age.
Well, you got to remember, he was also a hippie, a survivalist.
He'd been through some changes.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
So while being interviewed at the police station, Lake asked for a glass of water and used it to swallow a cyanide pill hidden in the lapel of his shirt. Always prepared.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that a different place. I've seen it said it was in the lapel of his shirt, like his collar. And then I've seen it was in his belt, so I don't know which one is correct. But he apparently kept a cyanide tablet on him at all times.
Well, you never know when you'll need it.
Well, especially when you've got 25 dead bodies and you're on your property.
Right. Yeah. He collapsed, was rushed to the hospital, where he went into a coma.
Yeah, they were interviewing him.
Yeah.
They were just trying to kind of figure out what all, because they knew he wasn't.
Which one of the Nazis did that? Was that Goering? Goering during Nuremberg did that.
I'm not sure.
He was on life support for 4 days before being pronounced dead. All over a vice. After Lake's suicide...
$75 vice.
San Francisco police... That's expensive. Hmm.
It's hard to get a good vice.
Oh, well, they were driving a sweet-ass ride.
Mm-hmm.
After Lake's suicide, San Francisco police investigated the Honda Prelude he was driving at the time of his arrest.
Okay.
Sweet, sweet Honda Prelude.
Sweet Honda Prelude with a stolen vice in the back.
Mm. It was registered to 39-year-old Paul Kostner, a San Francisco car salesman. Further investigation revealed that on November 5th, 1984, Kostner took an obese man answering Lake's description on a test drive to sell him a Prelude and never came back.
So they're saying that Lake was a bit chubby.
A chubby of him.
After a short investigation, police confirmed the true identity of their suspect as Leonard Lake. Furthermore, the man whose identity Lake had taken, Robin Stapley, had been missing for several weeks.
Police
searched Lake's ranch in Wileysville. It was clear that the man was a survivalist. His ranch was fitted with a bunker and a stash of weapons. In a dairy, Lake had written how he was convinced there was
going to be... Hold on.
In a dairy. That's
in a dairy?
I think it's supposed to be dairy.
Yeah, Goering took a cyanide tablet before they hung him.
It was Goering that took it? Yeah, I thought Goering did.
Okay, so in a diary. I thought dairy didn't make any sense, but I have a cold. So
in a dairy.
Yeah. Lake had written how he was convinced there was going to be a global nuclear war. Nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
And he planned on surviving in his bunker and rebuilding the human race with a collection of female slaves, clearly named Operation Miranda after a character in the book The Collector by John Fowles. He always takes my fucking thunder. He starts talking.
Yeah.
He tells shit that's on my page.
It's a problem.
Takes the fucking thunder.
It's a problem when you're writing a script and doing
you have
research.
That means you have no faith in your talent.
It means you don't have any self-control.
No, it means that perhaps I should get some help with those tasks.
What worries me is your lack of self-restraint. I'm afraid it's... One of these days we're afraid you're just going to masturbate in front of us.
Oh, we're not. I've never been afraid of that. No. Never had that concern.
Well, when you guys can write the script anytime you would like.
Hold on.
It's not a matter of writing the script. It's a matter of you've written the script, and I want to read the script, and you're running your yapper and giving away the whole fucking story.
We've just glossed over an important thing that you've said here. You're ill?
I have a cold.
The fuck?
I have a cold.
Yeah, you could be spreading that to me and Timmy. Then, you know, we got man colds.
I didn't lick your fucking face or anything. You're all right.
I'm just saying, you got a cold. You got the boobies that protect you and estrogen.
I'm not sure,
but all of a sudden, you give it to me and Timmy, and we got man colds. And that's some serious shit. It ain't like your root. Cover up your mouth. Sneeze the other way. We're sharing a microphone here.
You've not heard me sneeze. Hush.
Don't quit licking the microphone.
Can't help it. The police also found their videos. You know what, people? If you're going to do a crime, and I'm all for do the crime, I don't care, but you don't.
you're all for abducting and murdering people? Yeah.
It's the taping.
You have to let me finish.
All right.
It's the taping that I'm opposed to. Taping it, the pictures, the cell phone where you're taking a selfie next to your stolen shit. all that.
Uploading it on Facebook
it's
is bad.
It's all evidence. Don't take pictures. Don't write it down. Like it never existed.
So what you're saying, what I hear you saying is don't do the rape and tape.
Don't do the rape and tape.
Okay. That, the rape
those
is
are
one
words
thing,
to live by.
But don't do the rape and tape.
Or you can rape
words
or
to
tape.
Live by.
Just don't do both.
Rape or tape. Don't rape and tape.
Rape is a bad thing. I'm opposed to rape.
Rape is a bad thing. I can't even talk about it because
I'm only opposed to rape when.
I'm so upset right now.
You're opposed to hobo rape.
Well, it depends on the hobo.
if he's attractive or not?
No, I mean, some hobos got to come. Some hobos are asking for it. But I think.
Oh, yeah, the way they prance around, the way they dress.
Candy dancing things.
But, and they got that little, pole with that little
handkerchief on the end of it. Yeah, look like Snoopy.
Yeah.
Snoopy, he could get raped.
Yeah.
I'm only in favor of rape when it's.
Now you're raping Snoopy.
In the form of Snoopy and that little bird were doing it.
Woodstock?
Yeah, Woodstock.
I think Woodstock was, I think Woodstock might have given him an occasional reach around.
But you know that one.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
His arms were
that,
so
but
little.
You know Peppermint Patty was a lesbian. You know that. Come on.
Oh, Kurt. So was Marcy.
You think they were?
Oh, her and Marcy were.
Oh,
they
God,
were. They
shut
were,
up.
They what
were,
about Lucy?
They were rubbing rough.
Oh, Lucy's a whore. She
yeah. Lucy put out for anybody.
She Jesus put out for Linus Christ. And his little.
Oh, you know what?
He wrapped was, that yeah. hat, or wrapped that blanket around her.
But Linus was gay.
He was so stupid.
Yeah. Linus was gay.
He was so. Okay. Stop talking.
He was dirty too.
So don't.
He was dirty. So
okay. So don't take videos. Don't record it.
I'm
There's
only,
no reason to put it.
I,
on
I need to clarify this so
I don't
sound
that
like
you
a
do,
devil.
But okay.
I'm only in favor of rape when it's in falls under the allowances of Colonel Justice.
I see. So, okay.
So, like, if we could get these two guys and
like,
we could get Godzilla.
Carl Panzeran.
No, let me tell you something.
Yeah, to that rape
little,
him.
That little freak show Stanford swimmer is out of jail already for sexually. After he sexually assaulted that girl, they gave him 6 months and he's out already. He's out.
You know, I thought about that.
And on and to live his life.
Yeah, he got out in like 3 months.
I have thought about that.
Yeah, 3 months.
And you know what I've thought about? Now, and clearly it's a
tread lightly.
Huge miscarriage of justice.
Yes.
But however, I will say this.
Yeah.
He's probably, in the long run, this man's life, justly so, has been ruined by his actions.
Good.
And that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
He's a registered. He had registered.
But what I'm saying is there's so many men who rape and would get the 6 months and then fly under the radar for the rest of their lives. So there is some justice to this guy because everybody in the country knows what a dirtbag he is. At least there's that.
He has never admitted he did anything wrong.
No, I know, but everybody knows what he did.
I know.
Everybody knows what he did.
He's never admitted he did anything wrong. He wants to sit there and, you know, of course, this is like that affluenza motherfucker that's running around there. That, you know, oh, this has just so affected him, and he doesn't even eat steak anymore, and blah, blah. Fuck yourself.
I don't eat steak anymore, either.
Well.
No, I'm just, the only thing I'm saying is,
or
if
cheese.
There's anything to
I'm a part of
this,
the anti-cheese coalition.
If you say.
It's that he, his punishment is that everybody in the country knows where a dirtbag the sumbitch is. That's all. I'm not saying it's, you know,
They should.
But you wonder
doesn't
how
he
often
have to register as a sex offender?
He should.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
I don't know, but he should.
I think there's...
I don't think... Maybe... Is that mandatory in all sex-related cases?
Well, I don't know.
Sure. I'm not sure
because the big thing was the judge didn't want to put him really in jail because, you know, it was going to be so detrimental to him, and he didn't want this one incident to affect his entire life. So I don't know if he made him register or not.
Yeah, I don't know if that is
it really does make you wonder how many times... and first of all, you know, we could have a whole show on this because how many rapes go unreported, how many, you know, get by with it. But how many times does this happen that, you know, guys are given light sentences for?
Oh, it's happened, twice recently at least.
Right.
Because there was another athlete that got probation.
So maybe this, and this is why I'd be for rape for this guy, because... Colonel Justice demands it.
You can bet your sweet fucking ass that if it was reversed...
She thinks you have a sweet ass.
No.
I've been told that.
If it was reversed and that girl was shoving a bottle up his ass, she would have got a heavier sentence.
He would have probably got a Woody from that.
Well, maybe. But she would have got a heavier sentence.
Is that what he used, the bottle?
He used his fingers and maybe...
I think she was passed out.
Unknown object. She was passed out,
And he took advantage of her.
He was passed out. And the only reason that he stopped was because these two Swedish exchange students saw what he was doing and took him down. But, I mean, what if they've got him rolled over, a bunch of girls got him rolled over, ass up, and they're sticking their fingers in his butt or a bottle or whatever... They would have been in a lot more trouble because now they've ruined this athlete's life. He can never continue on. His asshole will never have the same elasticity now that, he's been
you
violated.
You bring up a good point because...
Fucker.
If his asshole loses elasticity...
He can't swim.
Would it fill up with water and weigh him down? Would it affect his tongue?
Is it bad that I'm thinking about the Swedish exchange students?
They were boys.
Oh. You kind of ruined it for me just then.
Well, I'm the dream crusher now, bitch.
I'm just picturing a bunch of sorority girls with a bunch of lubed up bottles and some poor bastard laying in the alley behind
you.
Dumpster.
You wait for it. It's fucking coming.
It's coming.
You wait for it.
All right. Back to Leonard Lake and Charles Ng. That's okay.
So,
The views expressed on this program.
Yeah, they're ours. Video equipment found in Lake's cinder block torture chamber was traced to Harvey Dubbs.
Hmm.
Dubbs was a San Francisco resident, and he vanished on July 25th, 1984, along with his wife and son.
I'm connecting the dots here.
There you go. Look at there. Somebody's putting this together.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Are we sure they didn't just walk in there and go, oh, there's nothing to see here, and then just walk out?
Nothing to see here, folks. Move along.
Video equipment found, let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. Stacks of videotapes revealed home movies of hog-tied women, orgies of lust, and young girls, their faces contorted in hideous grimace as they are forced to partake in oral sex and torture. One of the tapes showed a terrified 33-year-old Debbie Dubbs being sexually abused so badly she couldn't have survived. On the same tape, Lake and his Asian accomplice were seen sexually abusing pretty Brenda O'Connor. Brenda, her husband Lonnie, and their son had been unlucky enough to be Lake's closest neighbor. Brenda didn't trust Lake.
Location, girl.
Who called himself Gunner. So he's made up his own nickname.
He's using all these people's names that he whacked.
Well, I'm just thinking he's like Chuck.
Yeah. Chuck makes up his own names. This guy was taking aliases of the people he killed.
She told people thereabouts that she had seen him bury a body in the woods. Jesus. Instead of notifying the police, Lonnie invited a friend named Robin Stapley to stay with them for added protection. None of the four had been seen since May of 1985.
That plan didn't go as...
No.
It went awry.
Yeah. In captivity, Brenda was seen on tape, tied to a chair, pleading for her life as her husband, son, friend Stapley, and others watched in horror. The Asian untied her...
Imagine that. How awful.
Hold on. He did this in front of the family?
Yeah.
the Asian untied her, and she was forced to strip naked before being put in leg irons. Being put in leg irons and sexually abused by both Lake and the Oriental. Why are you using all these disparaging?
I shouldn't, because Oriental is not a person. Asian is the appropriate term.
On tape, Lake was heard to say, by cooperating with us, that means you will stay here as a prisoner. You will work for us. You will wash for us. You will fuck for us. Or you can say no, in which case we'll tie you to the bed, we'll rape you, and then we'll take you outside and shoot you. Your choice.
Really not a very good choice.
That's a Sophie's choice.
That is a Sophie's choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fucking shit, Sophie wouldn't like that shit.
You know,
even Sophie's
that I'm hoping that cyanide is a really nasty way to die.
Oh, it's a they say it's just a horrible. It's
I would hope so.
But the intense cramping and pain do you go through before you die? And he didn't die right away.
Oh, that's
a plus. Started. No, they took him to the. They took him to the hospital, I think, before he died.
Police estimated that 21 missing women, daughters, wives, girlfriends were shown as victims of malicious attacks in the tapes or captured on still photos. Veteran homicide sleuths who thought they'd seen everything winced at the screams of luckless victims being raped and sodomized.
Yeah, I mean, wouldn't you hate to be the detectives that have to watch that?
Cries of children in the background particularly distressed case-hardened detectives.
Oh, for love of God.
Female captives were seen withering on the floor, humiliated in front of...
I believe that might be writhing, but...
Well, that's what I thought, but it says withering. Humiliated in front of other male and female captives. Still photographs showed naked young girls ranging in age from 12 to early 20s forced to engage in kinky sex trysts. Mm. Six women identified.
I feel like that's a little judgmental now.
Yeah.
I mean, kinky. I don't agree with the forced, but what they was doing doesn't necessarily mean it was kinky now.
Six women identified in the tapes were eventually found alive. 15 more remain missing to this day, but those six women, God. Now, abducted children and male captives were obviously buried or cremated in an incinerator found adjacent to Lake's Wileysville bunker. The grounds of the ranch were dug up and 12 corpses were uncovered in shallow graves. With the help of the sheriff's cadaver dogs, they uprooted some 45 pounds of human skeletons and fragmented teeth, bones, and partial remains of missing men, women, and children.
And see, again, there was no one looking for these people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If wouldn't have tried to steal the damn vice, they would still be at it.
Yeah.
They found jewelry, rotted clothing, and several driver's licenses, including that of Stapley and Mike Carroll. Another rotting corpse was eventually identified as Randy Jacobson. Among other victims were two families, Harvey Dubs and his wife Deborah, and baby son Sean, and Lonnie Bond and Brenda O'Connor and their baby son Lonnie Bond Jr.
I think the Dubs family is the one that had the video equipment for sale, and they went. So, I mean, they were killing people off of this ranch. They killed a lot of people on the ranch, but they were killing people, you know.
They would bring them back to the ranch and bury them.
Yeah.
They are weird. The women had been sexually abused and killed after their husbands and infants were disposed of. Five of the bodies were of men lured to the ranch to be robbed and killed, including Robin Stapley and Paul Costner. And the 12th was identified as 18-year-old Kathleen Allen, who knew Ng because her boyfriend had once been his cellmate in prison. Oh, so she knew he was quality.
Yeah, what happened there, Ng contacted her saying she had a message from
the boyfriend
and then he abducted her.
It's been estimated the number of unknown murdered persons could be as high as 25. Lake's younger brother, Lake's younger brother Donald had vanished in 83 and was presumed dead. One of Lake's closest friends and best man at his wedding, Charles Gunner, also went missing and is presumed dead. You can't keep friends like that.
Well, he was his best man at that point.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't. You're killing all your friends.
No, he probably wasn't planning on getting married again. Probably he was bad luck if he was his best man.
Nobody's going to want to be your friend. It's like Chuck with everybody dying around him.
I know.
If the people all around you are going missing, never to be seen again, you might not want to be friends with them. Let's see. One of Lake's closest, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry. Gunner's remains were discovered at the ranch in September of 1992.
Yeah, so he wasn't found
to a few years.
For a while.
Yeah, a few years later.
The investigation yielded information on other unsolved murder cases in the Bay Area. Randy Jacobson was a 34-year-old unemployed drifter who vanished in 1984 after Lake answered an ad he'd placed in a newspaper to sell his van. Lake killed him. Donald Guletti, 38, a favorite San Francisco disc jockey, answered an ad in a sex tabloid offering free oral sex by an Asian male.
Oh, it's free?
Free oral sex?
Free oral sex.
Now, you don't just stumble across free oral sex.
No.
I mean, you know, but who answers that ad?
Well, it's too good to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was found shot 3 times in the study of his home.
In the study?
Yes.
Colonel Mustard.
Hold on. Isn't that a Tony Orlando song?
Shot
3 times on the ceiling if you want me.
I was making a clue.
A
clue reference. You stepped all over my clue reference.
I got it.
For a Tony Orlando and Don reference.
I liked it. I liked your clue reference. I hated your singing.
Yeah.
So,
you know where they found Tony Orlando?
Dead.
It's a crack of dawn.
All right, so.
Now, he's still alive.
He is still alive.
I don't know.
Don is still alive as well.
I don't know anything.
But look at it.
I think there's two. Okay. Don was two.
Yeah, there was two girls.
So his roommate identified the man who visited him the night as Charles Ng. Although police estimate 25 people died at the hands of Lake and Ng, they are unable to identify an exact number. Many of the victims would never be properly identified because they had been chopped into small pieces and fed to the chickens or buried.
Ugh.
Having suffered excruciating pain, others were cremated and their bones crushed completely.
You know, they were 3 Dons.
Charlie was a...
Don, and then, wait a minute, this morning...
It's Delta Don.
Tony Orlando had Thelma Hopkins and Joyce Vincent, not the same one who died in England. And Pamela Vincent sometimes stood in for.
I know Thelma Hopkins is.
Okay. Thelma.
Okay.
Thelma Hopkins.
Well, she was Dawn. She was part of Dawn. All right. I'm sorry. Back to the story.
And that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Randy. That was very enlightening. Are we done?
I'm done with this.
Well, there's an aftermath to this, Timmy. Let me fill you in on the aftermath.
Has to go on now.
Oh, God.
Now, one of the first finds by investigators were adult fingerprints taken from the bookshelf window.
Okay.
Later, they found other prints on and around the same window.
Pecker prints?
Yeah.
Pecker trails?
The fingerprints were identified as belonging to Leonard and Charlie. Since Leonard had escaped justice by suicide, the police now focused on finding his accomplice, Ng. Finding and bringing Ng to justice would turn out to be quite the ordeal. The FBI, meanwhile, had determined...
You know, Tony Orlando and Don had released a DVD in 2005?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's still hopping. They was playing the Holiday Inn down the street the other day.
They broke up for a long time.
Well, yeah.
Candida, remember that song?
Yeah, isn't Candida like a bacterial overgrowth?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, Candida is like a thing you get in your mouth or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Like thrush.
I don't know.
Look that up. Somebody look that up.
Write that down.
All right, write that down.
Okay. Now, the FBI...
Tie the yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. That's a good song.
Should I wait?
They only had 3 hits.
Oh, okay.
You're safe to continue.
The FBI, meanwhile, had determined that Charles Ng had taken a flight from San Francisco to Chicago, but they were unable to ascertain where he had gone from there. After a check of his background, they found that he came from Hong Kong.
The Far East.
Sisters in Toronto and Calgary, and an uncle in Yorkshire, England. And former Marines in Hawaii. They were aware that with sufficient funds and several days' lead, Ng could be in any of 4 locations. That was really wrong. He could have been anywhere in the world.
That's what I said. I think those would be the places I wouldn't head if I was him.
Yeah.
But
now, to assist in the search, they contacted Interpol and Scotland Yard and distributed Ng's description worldwide. Now, gradually, the FBI was successful in tracing his movements after leaving San Francisco. After interviewing Leonard Lake's ex-wife, Clara Lynn,
mm-hmm.
They learned that she had driven him to the airport shortly after Lake's suicide. Ng was seen boarding an American Airlines flight to Chicago, and on his arrival, he had booked into the Chateau Hotel under the name of Mikey Komoto.
Yeah,
professional wrestler, before checking out 4 days later. He then met up with an unidentified friend and traveled to Detroit before crossing the border into Canada alone. A search of his apartment revealed a cache of weapons and property allegedly belonging to the victims, as well as a pay slip from the Dennis Moving Company. Now, one of posters with Ning's face and description started to appear all over Canada. Although Ng managed to elude a nationwide manhunt for 34 days, his penchant for shoplifting led to his demise, just as it had for Leonard Lake. On Saturday, July 6, 1985, two security guards in a Hudson Bay store in Calgary approached Ng after he had attempted to leave this store with several grocery items secreted in his anus.
No,
he did not.
They was in his backpack, but anus makes for a better story.
It does.
None of the listeners would have known the difference.
Yeah, they would. This is a pretty well-known story.
When they challenged him, Ng drew a gun and threatened him. A short scuffle followed, during which one of the officers was shot in the hand before Ng was overpowered, then taken into custody. Ng was not a ninja.
No,
he was later charged at Calgary Metropolitan Police Station with robbery, attempted robbery, possession of a firearm, and attempted murder. They threw the book at the boy. As Ng prepared to face the courts, news of his arrest reached the local task force. Any elation at his capture was soon dispelled, however, when John Cosby came in, provided drinks to everybody at the task force. They
true.
All passed out,
no.
And Ng escaped.
Different Cosby. This guy's a good guy.
Oh, okay. Let me go back then. Any elation at his capture was soon dispelled when John Cosby, the Canadian Justice Minister, announced that under the terms of the 1976 extradition treaty with the United States, he had refused the quest for Ng's extradition, as Canada, having abolished capital punishment, would not release any prisoner charged with a capital crime that carried the death penalty. So Canada's a bunch of liberal commie.
Yeah, we have a lot of listeners in Canada. Be nice.
Okay, they're
progressive.
Progressive, yeah. Let's go with that. The FBI, however, was permitted to interview Ng in Canada. Two San Francisco detectives were sent to interview Ng in his Calgary jail cell. He told them that it was Lake who was responsible for most of the killings, but admitted to helping dispose of Paul Cosden's body. Now, following this interview, the U.S. Justice Department made a renewed attempt to have him extradited, but the Canadian authorities refused. As they were about to bring Ng to trial for the offenses committed, his dastardly deeds in the Great North, Ng had later was tried, convicted on the shoplifting and assault charges, and sentenced to 4.5 years imprisonment. As he prepared to serve his sentence, the United States Justice Department began what would become a long and protracted battle to extradite Charles Ng. The battle lasted almost 6 years. During this period, Ng spent most of his time studying American law.
Of course he did.
During the extradition proceedings, evidence was tabled that Ng had drawn several cartoons, which, according to U.S. attorneys, showed details of the Wilsleyville killings that only someone with the intimate knowledge of the killings could produce. So he basically gave them evidence. He said, oh yeah, here's how we did it. After dozens of appeals and a seemingly endless round of hearings, the Canadian government finally acceded to the Californian government's request and agreed to extradite Ng on September 26, 1991. Within moments of his release, Ng was flown to McClellan Air Force Base, where he was transferred to
Folsom Prison.
Yes.
And you know what he was doing?
What?
Singing.
He was stuck in Folsom Prison. Just shot a man in Reno.
Don't sing.
Okay.
He had the Folsom Prison Blues, though.
Yeah. Oh, you know what he heard? Now I know how it goes. He heard that trainer coming, Timmy.
Yeah, it was coming down.
It was coming down the track.
Yeah, around the bend. Go ahead. Continue.
Coming around the bend, yeah.
No singing.
And he hadn't seen the sunshine since I don't know when.
Yes,
I because he's stuck in Folsom Prison, Timmy.
He should be.
And time keeps dragging on.
Continue, Colonel.
Okay. Now, what followed were the most drawn-out, costly criminal proceedings in U.S. criminal history, Timmy.
Yeah.
Even outstripping the infamous O.J. Simpson case.
Mm.
Ng used every point of law that he and his string of attorneys could muster to delay the trial proceedings. The site for the trial was to be San Andreas, but they found fault in San Andreas. But Ng constantly filed actions against the state of California, making formal complaints on matters ranging from poor treatment to the bad food, to the claim that he was forced to take medication for motion sickness during the 50-mile trip to the courthouse, which
he
claimed...
Yeah, I mean, he was stalling at every turn.
...made him drowsy and unable to participate in pretrial proceedings.
Ng would make you tired.
Ng gained further delays...
It's exhausting,
...by dismissing his attorneys at regular intervals and filed a $1 million malpractice suit against him for incompetence. At one stage, he filed a motion with the San Andreas court applying for the right to represent himself, but later withdrew it.
Yeah, he would tell his cellmates that the one way, if you want to, the one avenue that prisoners had, defendants had, is to fire your attorney. So he was firing his attorney, you know, anytime it would get too close to trial, he would end up following his attorney, and then there was a delay. I'm really not sure, you know, it doesn't do him any good in the end, but
well,
he's
the
still
delay,
fighting that. So.
These delaying tactics continued as his attorneys applied to have the trial moved to Orange County, as they believed that their client would not receive a fair trial in San Andreas because San Andreas was faulty. So, in support of this motion, the attorneys tabled an independent survey indicating that 95% of the residents of Calaveras County already considered Ng guilty. Those and other motions were brought before the California Supreme Court no less than five times until finally, on April 8, 1994, a San Andreas judge upheld the motion and ordered the trial moved to Santa Ana in Orange County. Now, this action, Timmy, caused further delays when Orange County officials objected on the grounds that it was virtually bankrupt and couldn't afford the damn trial.
Yeah, this trial now, at this point, has cost millions of dollars at that point.
Yeah, now see, and this is what I call the 39-cent solution, Timmy.
Mm-hmm.
About, well, 39 cents, if somebody got a calculator, $10, a box of 50 cents. 50-cent solution.
50 cent.
A box of 59mm rounds cost me $10. You put one right behind the poor bastard. Poor bastard. Why didn't they just put one behind his damn ear? They had him in a van, traveling across to the courthouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why couldn't they just throw his ass out the van, let him hit the concrete, put him back in? Drive 70 miles an hour. Throw his ass out
because
the van.
Because they weren't in Chicago.
Well, it's the Chicago way.
Yes. Continue, Colonel.
Anyway, the issue was finally resolved when the state of California agreed to pay any costs incurred. More years of legal wrangling ensued as Ng changed attorneys, who in turn asked for further adjournments to prepare their case. At one time during the proceedings, Ng was housed in a small cage between appearances.
Good.
As he was considered highly dangerous. The cage was later removed when a federal magistrate described it as barbarous.
Okay.
Even before the actual trial began, Ng had appeared before six different judges in a case that had amassed over 6 tons of evidence and other legal documents at a cost of $10 million.
Jeez.
In October 98, after 13 years of delays and extended legal arguments, the trial of Charles Chet Ng began. His real name, middle name was Chitat, but they call him Chit Chat in prison.
because he might be a snitch. Hmm. For the next few months, the jury, the media, and the family and the friends of the victims heard State Prosecutor Charlene Honecker relate how Lake and Ng had selected and kidnapped their victims before taking to the Wellesleyville site, where they were sadistically tortured, raped, and murdered. Mm. To support the state's case, Honecker submitted the videos. And so it was pretty...
Convincing evidence.
Evidence including stolen property and photographs were tabled, further linking both men to the victims. Honecker also attempted to submit excerpts from Lake's diaries as evidence, but Judge J. Ryan refused to admit them, ruling that most of the material submitted bore no relevance to the case. Part of Lake's military record was also withheld. The defense countered, though, Timmy.
They did.
They countered strong, claiming that Ng was an unwilling accomplice dangerous and demented Lake, who was responsible for the murders.
Poor Ng.
While Ng merely participated in some of the sexual offenses. See, this
blame it on the dead guy.
This is basically the offense. This is the defense I would use when I go to Frisch's at lunchtime with the devil, Timmy.
Frisch's is a local restaurant.
Frisch's is a local restaurant here. Sometimes me and the devil will run up there. She will perform some dastardly deed. I will have to say I was an unwilling participant only because I was with the devil.
Yes. I never seen you go to Frisch's in your life.
Yeah, and it was bullshit then and it's bullshit now.
Now, toward the end of the proceedings, Ng damaged his own case when he insisted on taking the stand.
There we go.
A move which allowed prosecutors to present additional evidence.
Because nothing ever goes wrong.
Including a picture of Ng in his cell showing the incriminating cartoons behind him.
Yeah, I don't understand how they got by. Well, I guess they... Because, you know, I don't know why they didn't have to show that in discovery. But I guess when he took the stand, they were able to use that evidence.
Somehow he opened up
the line of questioning. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you would know more about this. You a lawyer. I'm not.
Yeah, I didn't focus in criminal law, but...
Well, anyway...
Criminal procedure, anyway.
The cartoons behind him on the wall were behind him on the wall, and there was a motto that said, no kill, no thrill, no gun, no fun. Don't you have that tattoo?
Yeah, she's got it.
Ain't that what your tram stamp says?
I'm not telling you about my tattoo.
I'm just saying. I just thought you had
that tattoo. Where is your tattoo, by the way? You never told us.
For me to know.
Well, you do know.
It is someplace discreet.
Now I got three tattoos. I'd tell the list. Maybe I got four.
Yeah, but all of yours are stupid.
All of mine have deep, significant meanings, spiritual meanings.
Continue, Colonel.
Finally, okay. In 1999,
the
after
anchor.
Trial lasting 8 months, all the evidence had been heard and the jury retired to consider a verdict. Within hours, they returned. They found Charles Chit-Chat Ng guilty of the murder of 6 men, 3 women, and 2 baby boys. The charge of murdering the 7th man, Paul Cosner, had been dropped previously owing to insufficient evidence. Judge Ryan then followed the jury's recommendation and imposed a sentence of death, even though he had the option of sentencing them to life. A 2001 San Francisco judge found Ng and Lake responsible for the death of missing auto trader Paul Cosner. Ng currently remains on death row at San Quentin State Prison. No execution date. Now, ain't this a bunch of bullshit? They sentenced him to death in 1999, and they ain't even got an execution date for his sorry
ass. Yeah, he's still going through his appeals.
To date, his prosecution and punishment and appeals have cost taxpayers in excess of $30 million. Now, God damn them, had they given him to me before the trial, I'd have spent $1 on a bullet. I would have taken the $29,999,999, and I would have donated that money to the First Church of the Latter-day Colonel. We would have done the Lord's work with it. This scurvy bastard would be cooking in hell right now. Mm-hmm. I'd have my Lamborghini. I'd have my jet. Because, you know, every good pastor needs a Lamborghini and a jet. And
justice will be done. Justice will be served, Timmy.
They should have put him in your hands.
They should have given him, turned him over to me and said, look, Colonel, we got a problem here. It's called a black bag job, Timmy. Yeah. They needed me to do some wet work.
Yes.
I would have done it on his ass.
Shout outs, Colonel.
Shout outs. We got plenty of shout outs today. We covered, we did cover Trish Hillard, her birthday.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to put a little bit of money on your commissary account, Trish. let's see. We got a promotion, Timmy.
Oh, great. Who got promoted?
Kim Taylor is now the manager at her, at Hibbard's Sporting Goods.
Congratulations, Kim. That's great. That's really great news.
We got some new listeners. Bob Mears is not a new listener. He's new to our Facebook page. It's great to have you there. Bob Mears and Sons Painting.
Still
got the smoothest strokes in New Jersey.
We were worried about you, Bob. We hadn't heard from you in a while. Yeah. We thought you had a real stroke.
Missy Horton Dean.
Mm-hmm.
One we just, this morning, it just, I got... became friends with this morning, Karen Barnes.
Mm-hmm. Karen from Euclid, Ohio.
It is Kevin Cummings' birthday today.
And happy Kevin birthday, Cummings. Kevin.
Now, Kevin is not in prison.
No.
So we hope that he gets a cake and some candles, and I don't know if he has a spouse or whatnot, but I hope they buy him a nice gift.
You know, it looks like he enjoys golf.
No, well, I hope you're out playing 18 rounds. Where's Kevin from?
Kevin is from Farmington, New York.
Cool. Farmington, New York. Nice. So hopefully he got to take some time off and get some rounds in.
Mary Ray is up in...
let's see. Who we got? Kirsten Godley Davidson. Somebody asked me a question. Colton Dretz. How you doing, Colton? Me and Colton are friends on Facebook. Denny McNamara.
Why do you qualify it? Can't you just be friends? Do you have to qualify it as Facebook friend?
No, because there is a difference.
Yeah. I mean, because if I say a friend, it means that you live down the street or, you know, all of you are welcome to stop by my house and have a beer. I mean, I don't, you know.
Okay.
Michelle Chu.
Yes, Michelle's new to the page.
Michelle's new to the page. Keith McAllister. Josh O'Keefe. And Keith, is it Frusi? Keith Frusi?
I think so, yeah.
Of course, Celine, thank you for the shout-out.
Celine just moved into her new home.
And congratulations on that new home. And Celine, I believe you said when you got that home, you was going to send me a pie.
You get no damn pie.
Well, she said she would do something with Patreon, and we don't care about that. She was going to send me a pie. Speaking of pie, Amber Croup, you owe me a pie. Peanut butter pie, damn it.
I want a peanut butter pie.
I'm messaging my...
Do it soon.
I do not know if me and Amber are friends on Facebook, but I'm going to send her a message.
Well, do it soon.
Tiffany, let's hope Bo... Go Bo. Go Bo, that's what you say with
that's
Tiffany.
That's her son.
That's her son, Bo Hall. Or Bo Bell, not Bo Hall. He's running back. Got his second game of the season coming up tomorrow night. So, let's see. We got Amber.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Boomershine. Did I say Jessica Williams?
No, I don't think so.
Jessica Williams, who never goes to Chicago. We got the two Jennifers. Jennifer Burdick. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Siemens. Good mm-hmm. Jennifer, bad Jennifer.
They're both the good Jennifers.
And we got, of course... the lovely, lovely, truly, I mean, this is a wonderful woman, Shannon.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon, who does the Lord's does work the on Lord's two work. Fronts.
She actually really does the Lord's
work. She really does.
The Lord's work for Amnesty International. She does the books for the church, the Colonel's church.
She's a very good person.
Who am I leaving out here? Tell me who I'm leaving out.
Jeff Chestnut.
Jeff Chestnut, Marvin.
Yeah. John Holmes.
John.
Michael.
Michael Bertzel.
Mm-hmm. Gave us an update.
Brittany Chacon making the dragon soup.
Yes.
Dragon's blood soup.
Yes.
And Chris.
Chris,
yeah. Yeah, so we're going off the top of our heads here. Linda Middleton.
Yes.
We got Jennifer, Linda. You come second because, well, you're on the wrong team.
Did you do Trisha Hillard?
Yes, it's her birthday.
Trisha Ellis?
Sorry, it is her birthday. And Dottie.
Oh, no, we was getting to Dottie.
Well,
Dottie's always last.
You stopped. You just said it was off the top of your head.
No. We never forget Lady Beverly.
Tiffany Bell, Lady Beverly. Did I tell you my child went to school in his bathrobe today?
And hold on, let me just finish these two up, and then you can tell that one. Lady Beverly. And Alexandra.
Erica,
yeah. Dottie.
Yes, you mentioned her.
Can't believe I even got to say her name. Oh, it should be Dottie's History Dweebs is our should be our show. But let's see.
Trixie.
Oh, crazy ass Trixie.
Jean Bond. Yes. Scott.
Klukowski.
Yeah, I want to say, Scott, that just because I'm watching Toddlers and Terrorists, I know who JonBenet is.
Well, I'm telling you what, that's weird that you watch that show. I watched 15 minutes of that show last night, and I was like, are these people? Oh, my God.
It's amazing, but I know.
We're talking about Tiaras and Toddlers and Tiaras.
Toddlers and Tiaras.
Oh, my God. You know what? I can't wait till 90 Day Fiancé starts again.
But no, I know who JonBenet is. You know, just because she was in those pageants had nothing to do with the fact that she was killed.
Well, we don't know that.
Oh, I think it could have been another contestant.
I don't think it was another contestant.
It could have been another contestant.
Dumb bastard.
Because JonBenet was making a rise.
Okay. Brandy.
Am I the only one who remembers Tanya Harding?
No, Pumpkin, but these people, you have to understand, those people, I mean, they're very narcissistic. They're up in their own little world.
These stage moms.
They're.
And, you know, I know a lot of them had been, you know, they're living through their kids, obviously, and they were, had been in pageants in the past. Well, a lot of them, Colonel, have hit the wall.
Oh, they jumped the shark.
Yeah.
Although, you know, JonBenet's mom, I would have.
Yeah, but she's dead.
Still,
body's not that show.
I mean, the way they bond people now.
That show is amazing. It's like watching Hoarders or Intervention. It just makes me feel better because there those little girls are, and they're all dressed up. And they're all in their glitz.
Serious coin on that.
Yeah, they're all in their glitz dresses, and their hair's all done. Their makeup's on. Their flippers in. Their nails are done. And I sent my kid to school today in his bathrobe and flip flops.
Why didn't Noah wear his?
Don't know. Just decided that that's what he wanted to do today.
And now, did he have on other clothes besides his bathrobe?
He did have on his street clothes.
Okay.
So but he wanted to put his bathrobe on.
He wanted to be like Hugh Hefner.
He wanted to be Columbo.
All he was missing was a pipe.
You should have got him a pipe.
I don't have pipes just lying around my
house. But I don't think Hugh Hefner wears a... What was it, a Batman...
It was Batman bathrobe.
Okay.
You know, they say Hugh Hefner went through a 12-pack of Pepsi a day.
I did not know that.
Oh, he's still alive.
Yeah. And getting more tail than you.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing a whole lot with it, though. Brandy, your final thoughts on Leonard Lake and Charles Ng, your good friends.
What?
Your good friends.
How the fuck are they my good friends?
I'm surprised you never ran across Ng in your world travels.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you.
Your good friends, Leonard Lake and Charles Ng. Any final thoughts?
Not my good friends. That's a final thought. My final thought also is that, like many of these people that we do, they're asshats.
Okay.
So they got what they deserved.
Colonel, your final thoughts on serial killer Leonard Lake and his accomplice, Charles Ng, with no vows.
I would have liked to have had 10 minutes alone with Mr. Ng.
Mr. Ng is...
For the Colonel Justice.
For oral sex.
Never answer that ad, Colonel. You may be tempted.
I think if anything we learned, don't tape and rape.
Don't tape and rape.
Now, don't rape is a rule.
Yeah,
it's a rule.
Rape
that is a good life rule.
Rape
now,
is
I can't imagine. Could you imagine a collection Brittany Chacon and Chris got? Because she's just said on our page what crazed fiends they are.
They're very nice
people. What is wrong with you?
They're very nice people, and I don't know why you're this person.
They are lovely individuals.
They are.
I'm just saying.
She's a nurse for God's
Everybody's allowed their proclivities, and you need to be quiet.
Oh.
And be very
Jennifer Seaman.
Because you don't want
Jennifer,
to get into your proclivities.
You don't want to get into your proclivities.
Jennifer Seaman apparently has a thing with monkeys going on.
She does have a thing with monkeys. And Amber Krupp, what makes you think you can take on Godzilla?
Yeah.
I mean,
what is wrong?
You're wondering what we're talking about, we have two Facebook pages. Yeah, one's called History Dweebs, and the other is called History Dweebs, a podcast where we interact with all the folks who listen to the podcast. So if you get a chance, join History Dweebs, the podcast, and you'll get to meet all these people that we're talking about. They're actually all very nice, and they're not deviants.
No, I do believe somebody posted a picture the other day that's people joining them. Remember, they just back out. Like,
yeah, that was funny.
Oh, no.
Because some leave quickly, but if you stick around, you'll get to know people.
Because not that bad.
But what you have to... I laughed so damn hard, you know, and the people on the page are funny, but sometimes things strike you funny.
Yes.
And somebody posted a picture of Godzilla. Timmy, you did, and, you know, there was a dispute as to whether he had a penis or not.
Yeah.
And Amber Krupp jumped in and said... I want me some of that.
That was a funny line. Well, because you've got to think if he has one,
it would be ginormous.
It's impressive.
Yeah. And they was making fun of the woman with a pound and a half of heroin in a vajayjay there.
Yeah. So we talk about all the, you know, important topics.
It's a very highbrow page.
We talk about all the important topics of the day on the page. So join us at the History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group. You can also find us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1, on iTunes. If you please subscribe and leave us a review, that's how other people find us. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you all again real soon.
Hey, we've had about 4 good reviews on iTunes.
Yeah, so people nice enough to leave
recently.
Yeah. So if you would, we really appreciate it because we're kind of like a stepchild. Only, you know, all these podcasts get reviews and we don't.
Let me tell you something.
Maybe because we suck.
Well, and that's probably a large part of it. But Celine did the ultimate and cool thing. So she gets 2 shout outs because she put us on Rosie O'Donnell's Twitter feed.
Yes, she did.
She did. That was
very nice of you.
Very sweet.
Yes. She mentioned us on, they were talking about podcasts, and she mentioned History Dweebs. So thank you very much. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Good day, listeners.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.